This section will be just under 12 minutes. One of the topics that we didn't dive into in chapter 8 is conflict. Now, you might recall chapter 3, we picked up what are some fifth order self-transforming mind orientations towards conflict, and I invite you to go back and revisit those if you don't recall them. What we're going to focus on right now is how conflict can be used as a type of a radar system to detect the entrenched positions of your autonomy. And when we use conflict as a beacon of sorts, we can start to get more curious about, well, what is the conflict revealing about my own inner organization, my own inner structure of mind and body and psyche? So if we start to relate to conflict as a information source and a radar system, if you will, that enables us to actually start to get more curious about the conflict, and we become less consumed by trying to get out of it or get rid of it. And this is an important piece because we want to actually get more curious and more trusting in conflict as a way to actually grow ourselves or to be grown by life. And pretty much most of your conflicts that are out there in the world, maybe it's with your partner, or it's with your boss, a coworker, somebody who reports to you, maybe it's with an institution as a whole, maybe it's with a part of an institution. All of these external conflicts out there in the world, they're actually mirroring some kind of inner organization that you have against some part of yourself, right? Because remember, once the self gets bigger than polarity, once the size of the self expands to include both masculine and feminine, just to use that as one example, I'm no longer organized around being very masculine, right? And my autonomy is congealing around masculinity, which is in some ways in some form of a conflict, often with a more feminine orientation. But when the self releases its grip upon that one polarity, masculinity in this example, now the self actually broadens and includes both spheres of functioning, the masculine and the feminine. And we can think of conflict as a beacon, as a signal that you've actually collapsed some of your complexity. You've actually lost the fact that, you know what, it's not that person over there, it's not that organization that only has those qualities. You likely unknowingly possess and participate with those qualities as well. So by using conflict as an invitation to get more curious about how are we stuck, we can actually soften into conflict. We can actually even heighten it a little bit as a means to reveal something that's really important for us. And it's important not to keep the agenda to get rid of the conflict or to avoid the conflict. We're not actually going into the conflict to try to get rid of it. It's important that we understand that the situational constructs around conflict are oftentimes resolvable. We can find a way to do it. The underlying energetics are unresolvable. So when we're softening into conflict and participating with the unresolvability of the energetic, we can't actually do that unless we put down the agenda to resolve something, right? So this quality of softening in and deepening and trusting and opening our curiosity and leaning closer is a means where we're actually putting down the agenda to get rid of it or to get more distance from it or to resolve it. And we're actually heightening or pronouncing your conscious participation with conflict. And that means that you're actually going to be softening and releasing it into an unresolvability. There's some tension between this. But when you give yourself to the conflict and plunge into it, right? And not in a reactive way. I'm not saying to go in unconsciously and reactively act out your one side of things, but I'm inviting you to plunge in to the energetics and get intimate with it. Do get messy, do get scrappy, but also do it with the most amount of responsibility and precision and skillful means as possible. So this gesture of curiosity and openness and even embrace of the unresolvability is a very pregnant place for you to be in conflict, because at some point there will be a more organic or spontaneous shift where your fixed position releases and you start to understand how you're on both sides of this conflict. Right. And when you can start to do that, all of a sudden, you have immense flexibility where there was once rigid, fixed, autonomous functioning. So now we've got a more post-autonomous or post-conventional fluidity that I can actually enter into and really own the parts of me that I'm really trying to get rid of, you know. And then I can kind of start to do the yoga, the union of, oh, I've been trying to get rid of this part of this person or this organization. And it helps us actually to become more integrated, more free functioning, if you will, so that we can move between these polarities when it's skillful. Being able to have this dialectical fluidity enables you to come to an entirely different orientation around resolving the actual situational conflict. Right? What is the actual tangible, pragmatic, more mediated process that brings a more skillful and more elegant approach to resolution now is on the menu? You know, prior to this dialectical shift, this opening to include both polarities, the options were pretty limited. And once you broaden your dialectical embrace, you have an entirely different menu of possibilities in front of you that are all now viable options. And the beautiful piece is that all of them are secondary or tertiary. The situational resolutions matter less. Why? Because the internal developmental transformation has occurred. You've gone from a more fixed, autonomous reference point to one that includes an unresolvable polarity. And once you have that, right? Once you have that, the surface features of how you actually engage with the resolution in the situation, that's the icing. The cake is the transformation of you becoming a more integrated and more free-functioning human being that is capable of much greater elegance. And in this context, we can actually start to smile with conflict. We can start to actually get playful with it. And we can actually heighten and brighten conflict without it dissolving into very imperial, very self-centered, and it's me versus you orientations. And it's a very powerful practice to actually learn to pick up conflict and heighten conflict without sending it back into the devolved, less conscious ways of how typically conflict escalates. But there's a post-conventional or a post-autonomous escalation of conflict that is not out of control. It's not out of integrity. In fact, it's actually more, it demonstrates greater control and even more integrity that is participating with more complexity. So I just wanted to presence a little bit of this orientation so that you can turn towards the conflictual dimensions of your life in a more rigorous way. And this is in part what this chapter talks about with liberated dialectics. And it's this unbounded participation and immersion in an open-ended incompleteness. And part of this involves our willingness and even enjoyment of tangling and being tangled by the resistance and struggle and conflict in our life.